Hello, and welcome to the DD&D podcast. Today is Sunday, January something. No, February. February 5th. Right, it's 50 degrees out in Washington Township. We got Kano on the line here. Maybe.
Washington Township.
Yes, Washington Township, Cedar County, the state of Missouri. Yeah.
33 degrees up here.
Oh. So you're just above freezing.
Just above.
All right. Well, I'm going to throw a cat out of my camper. Guess he's had plenty of time.
You're going to catapult?
Well, I pulled a cat. I don't know about catapult.
Goodness. Yes, we need to build a catapult and aim it right towards the pond that we're going to build. And catapult the cats into the pond.
No, really, kitties got wet in the...
I'm just kidding. I wouldn't do that to my fur babies. Actually, yeah.
I don't know you well enough to know whether you would or you wouldn't.
Crazy enough. It depends.
Say what?
That would probably be the cat punishment station. If you do something wrong, you go into the catapult.
Right. We will tie you to the fluffy target.
To the fluffy target.
And fling cats at you. Fluffy, cuddly cats at you until you are dead.
Yeah. That's not what I meant, but that's... Yeah, smoke. Everybody wants to take smoke home.
That
might be the first cat to get adapted.
She's the most needy cat, too. She's the most needy cat.
Oh, yeah.
And the least hunter?
Well, I don't know. When I found that mouse nest, she was all up in that.
Oh, okay, good.
So, I don't know, she may hunt. She just may not be a good hunter.
Yeah, I haven't observed her doing any hunting, but if she knows what a mouse baby is, okay, fine. I accept that she may be more than she appears.
Yeah. Yeah, it wasn't a pinky. It was
a hopper?
A hopper, yeah.
Yep.
But I think it was a little bigger than a hopper because it wasn't just hopping. They were actually crawling, running.
Okay.
So they were between stages. They hadn't left the nest yet, but they were between stages.
Yeah. All right. So, yeah, if they're beyond hopper, they're about ready to take care of themselves. They'll still suck on mom for a long time, but, you know.
Yeah, she was all up in that. She was all like, "Arr!" I was like, "Yeah, go smoke." And the last time I found the pinky nest, she did the same thing.
Very good. Very good.
So, yeah. She at least knows what they are, if she's hunting or not.
Right.
Food.
Food. All right. So I was doing some research today, trying to find the show notes. It's something we don't do. We should do show notes. For one of the podcasts I listen to, the American Independence Hour. All right. And in the process, where'd it go? There it is. I was looking for the contact page for Alfred Addisk because I found some show notes, but they're like going on 5 years old now. Can't find the current ones. Like, how can I find the current show notes? Anyway, so on his contact page, he has his, I received conventional mail at the following address. Oops.
Oops.
The page leaped on me. All right. And so he spells out Alfred Addisk in conventional spelling, capital A, lowercase everything else, capital A, lowercase everything else. And then he puts AKA, and then in quotes, Alfred M. Addisk in all caps. Okay? So otherwise known as. All right, so he actually takes ownership of that. And, you know, I've listened to his podcast, and that's actually kind of valid because even if they spell your name correctly, if they attach fiction to it, the fiction's still not true. You know? They ask, are you the Alfred Addisk on this sheet of paper? It's like, well, let me see the sheet of paper. You know? Well, that looks like the spelling of my name, but the person you describe here is not me. So, here you go.
No.
Wasn't me. All right. Anyway, so his address continues. All right. And he uses care of, which I've done many times, and he gives the street address. But then instead of saying, Garland, Texas, he says the city of Garland, the county of Dallas, the state of Texas, the United States of America, the kingdom of God. So his address is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 lines. And he doesn't put any zip code down there. But, it's saying Washington Township. We don't live in Stockton. Our farm is 5 miles away from Stockton. We're probably 2 miles from Kaplinger Mills.
True.
All right, at least a mile and a half.
If we were in any city, it would be Stockton or Kaplinger, not Stockton.
Yeah, we're not in any city. All right, but there is a region smaller than Cedar County that we are in. You know, as laid out by, generations before us, we're in a township known as Washington. So, the township of Washington. So, our address would be the township of Washington, the County of Cedar, State of Missouri, you know, and I'm not sure if I'd say the United States of America, but okay, so the United States of America, the Kingdom of God, or the Kingdom of Heaven.
Or the Kingdom of Hell.
Well, that'd be as if I was in the United States, as opposed to the United States of America.
Or the United States, or the United Soviet States of America.
Yeah. But, I mean, some people have noticed that there's these subtle distinctions in the law. And, you know, it talks about people being in the states and people being in the territories. And it talks about people being in this state as opposed to the state. And, you know, apparently there's a distinction between the state of Missouri and this state of Missouri. So, I mean, you know, it's little word games that they're playing. It's like, oh, well, you're not in the state of Missouri, and therefore you do not have those rights. You're in this state. It's like, okay, and the difference is? Oh, well, if you don't know the difference, you need to get yourself a lawyer to explain this stuff to you. And, of course, you ask the lawyer, and the lawyer says, oh, it's beyond your understanding. Don't worry about it.
Right.
Yeah, I just thought that was interesting. If you listen to his podcast, he always says he's a man made in God's image and not an animal and blah, 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 blah. And the reason why he states all this stuff at the beginning of every show is, you know, that and his lucky rabbit's foot and his four-leaf clover might ward off, you know, Uncle Sam if they come and try to attack him. Might. You know, it's his wreath of garlic to drive off the vampires. So... Oh, as a matter of fact, he actually has this statement. I, Alfred Adisk, a living man made in our Father, Yahweh, Ha-Elohim's image, and endowed by my Creator with certain unalienable rights, I'm sorry, I couldn't read his... He wrote it clearly enough, I just couldn't read it. I couldn't wrap my tongue around it. Receive email within the United States of America by means of, and then he gives his email address. So. Which is interesting.
Very interesting.
Don't know what to do with it, but, you know, all right. So, what's on your mind today?
I have no idea. I don't have a mind. Would I have something on it?
Yeah.
I don't know. I have a lot of things on my mind, but I don't know what they are because I just woke up. I had some topics I wanted to talk about, but I did not write them down, unfortunately. Now, slept since then.
Did your big sister invade your secret laboratory and steal your notes?
Yes. If I had a big sister. day. That was interesting. I never saw that one coming.
A proposal for you?
Yeah. Basically, I'm getting off the road. I'm tired of trucking. I'm tired of this company. One of the things I'm tired about this company because I'm tired of my company constantly looking for ways to not pay me for things they used to pay me for.
Right.
It's just getting old, you know. I'm hardly making any money. I mean, I'm making money, but I gotta stay out all the time to make money. They don't want me to go home. I can't afford to go home. And it's just getting old really fast. So I'm getting off the road. I'm tired. I'm done. Just can't do it anymore. Well, my father is too. Father's not far behind me. He was hoping to retire at this company. And now he's talking about quitting too. In fact, he's talking about quitting this year. He's really getting fed up because he has to fight these people for his paycheck every week, or almost every week. And like I said, that gets old real fast. So I'm getting off the road. I'm going to be basically a salesman, an inspector and a salesman for a roofing and siding and guttering company called American Dream Home Improvement. Which is supposed to be easy work. Most of it's insurance work. And I just got to go door to door and inspect people's houses and see if they're qualified for, you know, weather damage. You know, it's you know, they're storm chasers, someone called them. And so I just go door to door and inspect their house and got damages and, you know, we file a claim, and boom, get the roof fixed, or their siding fixed, or their guttering fixed. Well, my dad's talking about getting off the road, and like me, and either right after I was born or right before I was born, he was a used car salesman.
Okay.
And he did really good at it. It was before he went into the military. And he's thinking about going back to doing that. You know, he actually got fired from that job, so they let him go. He said he still doesn't understand why they let him go because he was making decent money there. So if he was making decent money, surely they were making decent money. But he thinks that the other two guys he was working with collaborated against him to get him fired because he was selling more cars than they were.
Okay.
And that's why he didn't understand why he got fired. He's like, wait a minute, I sell more cars than these other two guys, and I'm the one who's getting let go?
Right.
So he never pursued that business again. But now he's thinking about going back to it.
Right.
And he's older and wiser now than he was only like 40 years old. So it didn't make sense to him that he's had 40 years to think about it, you know? But so he's talking about going back to doing that or anything, really. But, you know, there's a lot of things he can do. He's a really good pencil pusher. The IRS is afraid to audit him. Every time they audit him, they owe him money.
Right.
So, so they don't audit him anymore. So he's really good with numbers. He's really good with paperwork, all that stuff. I'm okay. I'm decent, but I hate doing the paperwork where it doesn't bother him, you know. But anyways, but he said he would have to run it by his wife first, but, you know, he wanted to talk to me about letting me set up my aromatherapy lab in his basement. I was like, what?
Secret laboratory.
Secret laboratory.
Laboratory.
Yeah. So anyways, I was kind of taken back that he was offering me to do that, but I was like, I was listening. But then he went on to say that he would be interested in helping me run the business and setting up the website and doing the labeling because he asked me about my labels, and I told him about my labels. I said, because he was talking about creating some labels that were similar to my own, but just a little bit better. And then I told him about that I want to graduate to. I just haven't done it yet. because I know that people don't buy. Most people don't look at ingredients that we do. They don't compare the quality of the products. You just look at a package because the package says, "Hey, we're the best. Pick us," and they look good. They pick that.
Right.
They go for advertisements. The advertisements decide the decision makers. For what most people buy, they don't think about quality. They just look at the package, and if you have a beautiful package, they will buy it. You could package a bottle of piss with a beautiful label, and they will buy it.
Yep.
They may not buy it again, but they'll buy it. You know. Like, ooh, this looks good, you know. It's all in the marketing, you know. Most of my dedicated customers don't care about my labels, you know. Occasionally, they'll say something that I need to step up my labels, you know, my packaging. But most of my customers care about the quality of the product. So that's why I don't have a lot of customers. My customers are people who care about quality, not quantity. But anyways, I'm getting off the point. So he wants to help me with my business, but he's talking about going in 50-50 partnership, going out and getting an S-Corp. Of course, he doesn't know anything about LLCs. I told him a little bit about LLCs. But he's talking about going out, getting an S-Corp. You know, I've got $5,000 to $10,000 invested in product. He's talking about matching that, you know, in the business. So we're 50-50 business partners in my aromatherapy business. He's talking about putting $5,000 into my business to take my business to the next level and be a part of the 50-50 partner. I was just like, holy cow, I can't even believe that my father is offering this to me.
Hey, I'm game. I probably wouldn't have anything to gain from it, but I'd be willing to work under the two of you.
You know, yeah, I mean, well, you're so totally off the grid, I would probably, you know, I would have to pay your taxes if I paid you.
Yep, you paid me.
Right. You know. But, of course, I could give you love offerings and whatnot. But,
you don't really feed me.
Right. Well, you benefit from other things on the land, and that's where that's where your main focus is. But we'll have a store there as well. But, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I was just taken back from the whole thing. Because, one, my dad's, every time I try to get him to take alternative medicines or I talk about aromatherapy, he always poo-poos me. he's always like, oh, I don't know. Oh, yeah. I mean, anytime I suggest alternative health, oh, I don't, I'm good. I'm taking this pharmaceutical. Oh, the doctor says this. I'm like, dude, you know. And now he wants to be a business partner? It's just weird.
Right. So what's, like, causing him to turn around?
I don't know. Maybe it was an email that I sent him. Maybe he read the PDF. Maybe, I don't know, maybe it's my passion for alternative health. I don't know what it is, but, you know, maybe God spoke to him. I don't know. But,
how much do I owe you for the herbs, I think was the question he asked.
Oh, yeah, that was after the fact. But,
yeah,
I made him some Eyebright herb capsules because I want to help him with his eyesight.
And oh, yeah, that's something else I'll be measuring tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm a firm believer in alternative health, you know. I have corrected my vision with herbs, not a lot, but, you know, I've had the same glasses for the last decade and a half, I think, since 2003, I've had the same prescription for 15 years. And prior to that, I've actually corrected my vision whenever I had, when I went in to have my eyes examined, they lessened my prescription rather than increasing it. My eyes were better. They probably are better now than what glasses I'm using. I just haven't been checked in 15 years because I can see fine. You know, but according to Marcus DeBrasse Grant, I need to keep decreasing my prescription.
Oh, yeah.
And keep taking my herbs until I have clear vision without glasses.
One of the problems with wearing glasses is the problem with your eyes, kind of hard to explain. Your body is creating the problem with your eyes on purpose. So you wear glasses to correct it. And your body creates that error even worse, you know, to bring you to the level your body wanted the error to be, which is weird. I don't understand why the body does that, but it does that when you're not taking proper care of yourself. And so you wear glasses, so your vision progressively gets worse and worse and worse until you stop wearing the glasses.
Right. Yeah. And start eating better.
Right. When you start eating better, then your vision corrects. But you know, literally, if you stopped wearing the glasses, then your eyes would improve to the level that your body wanted it to be bad. I don't know why the body wanted it to be bad, but it shows a certain level of vision for you. And if you stop wearing the glasses, your vision won't get any worse. You know,
right.
You're bad, it just won't be any worse.
And it will improve when you start eating better.
When you start doing your beta carotene and whatever else. So.
Right. So, I bought Marcus Rothkrantz's PDF, and I sent that to my dad, as well as, you know, my note, my little letter, talking about the different telling him which, you know, the different alternative health doctors that I've been following over the years. You know, telling him that I'm doing this because I care about him. I don't want to see him go blind. I don't want him to lose his vision because he's having issues. He's already had eye surgery. He's already having problems now after the fact. And he doesn't believe that he could correct his vision. And I've done it. You've done it. Marcus Rothkrantz has done it. And I've heard of other people doing it. So
right.
I know it's possible.
Now,
how much are you willing to do?
My most recent research on Eyebright is that it doesn't really do a whole lot for your eye other than increase blood flow. All right? So you still need to do things like beta carotene. All right? So that explains why the eyebright only, you know, it improves my eyesight, but it's not a very lasting effect. I need to get more beta carotene, basically.
Right.
So I need to set up the electricity on the land and get a juicer and grow some carrots and some sweet potatoes and juice the hell out of them.
Juice,
and drink it down.
Right. So, but yeah, so I sent that email to him. I don't know if he read the PDF or I don't even know if he got the email. He never said anything about it. But, I guess I should have sent it with delivery confirmation to know that he got it. But, I didn't. Anyways. But, yeah, all of a sudden now he wants to go into business with me. It's like, why? You know? I mean, my dad wouldn't offer if he didn't think there was money in it. So there's he obviously thinks he can make, or we can make money off of it.
Right.
But my dad wouldn't do it just for the money. Well, he might, but I don't think he would. You know, I don't think, I don't know. It's just eluding to me that he would offer to take such a risk. You know, investing $5,000 to $10,000 into my business and doing an equal partnership, selling aromatherapy.
Yeah, I got a question. He makes that investment. What are you going to do with the money that he invests?
Well, we'll have to sit down and decide, him and I, together. And most of it will probably go into marketing.
Okay.
And or buying more product. Labeling. Because really the kind of labels that I need and the label machine that I need, is going to be a few hundred dollars. And the labels that I need are going to be water resistant, if not waterproof. Because the oils are abrasive to labels. I've been getting away with doing it the way I do it. The labels last a halfway decent amount of time if people are careful. But, you know, I just use the Avery labels, and I put Scotch tape over it, and it works. You know? I get the clearest Scotch tape. It's weird because the invisible Scotch tape is not actually invisible or transparent. Transparent Scotch tape is actually not really transparent. Yeah, I got to get the invisible one or clear. I don't know. I have to actually inspect the tape before I actually buy it to make sure I get the right stuff because it's a pain in the butt. Half the time I'll buy it. Not half the time. 10-20% of the time I'll buy the wrong one and be like, ah, crap, you know. But, you know, I just use it for other things that I need tape for. But I try to get the invisible, transparent, clear, as clear as possible. So you can, it looks like it's not even there, really. Scotch tape. And I use that, and it works. As long as you don't have it in the shower or anything like that. But, you know, some of these oils, or, you know, I make bath oils, shampoos, you know, I can make all that stuff. So some of those things in the shower, and they need to be waterproof or water resistant. So ideally, I need a higher grade label than what I'm using right now. So that's where part of the investment would go into.
You need labels that do not get messed up by the essential oil within.
Right, if you spill, if it gets spilt, you know, because some people are messy. Usually I pour the oil first and then I put the label on. So if I do spill a drop down the side, it doesn't affect the label because I'll clean it before I put the label on. And if some oils, I'll have to actually use another oil to clean it with, and which is usually tea tree oil. But depending on how oily it is, I may have to use tea tree oil on it to clean it, and then it'll be clean, you know, smooth enough to put the label on. And then, bam, I'm done, you know. But if I get good enough labels, I can label them before I put the oils in, and no oils won't affect it.
Right.
But I'll probably still practice my same practice because some of these oils are corrosive, and they may damage the labels. You know, they're not like corrosive, like hazmat corrosive, but, you know,
but
they're...
Wrinkle up the plastic.
Yeah. But yes, I cannot store them in plastic bottles because some of them will eat plastic. I was using a plastic measuring device, maybe funnel, I can't remember what it was one time, blending oil, and it ate the plastic, one of the oils ate the plastic that I was using to do my stuff. I was like, holy crap!
Yeah, I wish my stepdad was still around. He could tell you some things that he did in IBM. They had some chemicals he kept, and I think he went on vacation for about 2 weeks and came back, and the chemist who sat in for him took all of his chemicals and put them in glass jars because nothing reacts to glass. Well, half the chemicals had set up because they do react to glass.
Right. Some things react to glass, some things react to plastic, and you have to know what's what.
Yep.
Yeah, and you have to know what kinds of plastics react. Because, like, even the fragrance oils, well, the fragrance oils are chemicals. I put a fragrance oil that I bought... in a plastic container that I bought from the same company that I bought the oil from, and I don't remember what it did to the oil, to the container, but it wasn't good. No, can't remember what happened. But they specifically said you need to dilute it with this other oil. And I didn't, and it was not good. So, yeah, you know, they have their, you know, their stuff that you have to dilute it with, whatever. So, yeah. You have to know what you're dealing with. And there's certain oils that you can't put on your skin because they'll burn you, like cinnamon.
Right.
And you have to know these things. Then there's also other oils that you want to be careful putting them on your skin and going out into the sun because they will burn you. The sun will burn you because of the oils.
Hmm.
Yeah. So, yeah, there's all kinds of things to know. I mean, essential oils are like chemicals to where they, you know, react to different things, like chemicals react to different things, but they're less dangerous. Like red number 40.
Yeah, the replacement cherry pie filling. Yeah, I ate some of Kano's cherry pie filling from the kitchen, and so when I had an opportunity, I bought some replacement, and I found some that did not have high fructose corn syrup in it.
Yeah, probably.
It had red 40 in it. So I'm not sure which is worse.
Right. I don't know. I think maybe red number 40 might be worse because red number 40 makes you a butthole. Yeah, too much red number 40 will make you an asshole. You can go around singing the asshole song. Yo to you.
And you'll be a bright red one at that.
Yeah. So that's the danger with red number 40. And you know what? I drank it. Let's see, Gatorade. What does Gatorade have in it? Red number 40. Yay! I get to be an asshole tomorrow.
Now, which kind of which kind of Gatorade had the red 40 in it? Cause
it's the red one.
Right.
The orange one has orange 40 in it.
Does it?
No. It has yellow 6.
Yellow 6. With only a touch of red 40 in it.
Yeah, let's see. What side effects does yellow 6 have? I think that's what I Googled. Yes. Yellow number 6. Causes gas, hives, runny nose, allergies, hyperactivity, tumors, mood swings, and headaches. And not a tumor.
Glaucoma. Oh yeah, you were arguing the difference between glaucoma and cataracts. Glaucoma is cataracts.
Is it? Oh, okay.
Yeah, there's two different types of cataracts, though. There's the cataracts caused due to diabetes, and cataracts caused due to glaucoma. And you have to know which is which before you treat it, because you know it's just, you know, if it's due to diabetes, you got to treat the diabetes, otherwise you'll never really get rid of it.
Right. But we're not allowed to cure anything, so.
Well, tough shit. It's my body. I'm going to do as I please with it.
It's my body. I can fix it if I want to. Fix it if I want to.
Yep. And as Anna says, all these laws that are, you know, telling us what you can or cannot use to cure this, that, or the other, all these laws are based on man or other animals. Are you an animal?
Well, yeah. They're constantly doing animal testing on us.
Yeah, well, I'm not an animal. If you read your scriptures, we can't be animals because we have dominion over the animals, but we're not to practice authority one man over the other. So we don't have dominion over man, but we have dominion over animals.
Right. Huh. So they are man and we are animals.
Yeah, they're claiming we're animals because then they can have dominion over animals. You know.
Right. they're claiming that they are men and that we are animals.
Right. So.
Is that what the great owl teaches them?
Yeah, I guess it does. How many licks?
Three.
Three strikes and you're out. Oh, my.
Oh, me, oh, my. I like cherry pie.
Yeah.
Red number 40.
I'll have to go grab the other can and see what was in it other than high fructose corn syrup. I tell you, though, it knocked me out.
What?
Both times I ate it, it knocked me out. So it was either past due or had some really bad chemicals in it.
Red number 40.
Oh, my.
Contains benzene, which is also a chemical that is in fuel. It contains a petroleum product, I presume. Another word I can't pronounce. It contains benzene and this other chemical that research has linked with cancer. So red number 40 may cause cancer. Also, yellow number 6 and yellow number 5. Research has also I can't read. Research has also associated food dyes with problems in children, including... Oh, okay, this isn't saying exactly red number 40 causes these things. It's saying that these food dyes cause allergies, hypertension, learning impairment, irritability, and aggressiveness. Red 40 coloring, dangerous to your health. Hypertension. Hyperactivity. Red number 2. It has shown to cause cancers, tumors in rats. Yellow 5 has been investigated for causing migraines, anxiety, and even cancer. So, yeah, these things are not, the chemicals are not good for us. What did that one doctor call it? Food paint.
Food what?
Food paint. If your children are having problems, quit feeding them food paint.
Quit feeding them food paint.
Well, yeah, actually, he didn't say if your children are having problems. He just quit feeding your children food paint. Let's see. Green Gatorade has yellow number 5, blue number 1 in it. See, yellow Gatorade, obviously, yellow dye. Yellow number 5. Ah, the blue one. Blue dye number 1. And here, I got a whole bunch of it. That's my problem. That's probably part of my allergy problem. The food paint that I'm drinking and this Gatorade.
Yeah, I've never liked Gatorade. It's always kind of messed with me.
The that's probably part of my problem, because I drink Gatorade, not a lot, but it's been my energy drink. You know, like people buy energy drinks. I buy vitamin B12 shots, the ones that David Irish endorses, and I put them in my Gatorade, and that's my energy drink. That's what keeps me awake while I'm driving down the road. That, and I also have vitamin B12, Vita tablets that I put under my tongue, you know. When I start feeling tired, I'll do the vitamin B tablet under the tongue. Plus, I take vitamin B complex, and I take vitamin B5 on a regular basis. And then I put vitamin B6 in my juice. And then I put vitamin B12 in my Gatorade.
Right.
So I get a lot of B vitamins. I also get a lot of B. I guess I'm getting a lot of C, too, because I can only take 5,000 milligrams now before I reach bowel tolerance. Before I was taking...
So your need for vitamin C is going down.
Correct. Before I was taking 10,000, 15,000 milligrams of vitamin C. Now I can only take about 5,000. But I haven't been sick in forever. I got this allergy issue, but that's all I have. I don't get sick.
Right. Do you still have the allergy issue, even though your vitamin C levels are appropriate?
Yeah, but I also think it's partly chemicals, because I'm a hazmat tanker driver. So I'm getting chemical exposure. The last guy who drove this truck spilled antifreeze under the bunk. And so
yeah.
I soaked my carpet, and so I'm breathing antifreeze every day, all day long. Especially when I turn on my heater, it heats that up, and then I get fumigated by it. So I've been having to take Tylenol for the migraines from the antifreeze. But, you know, and I don't like taking Tylenol, but, you know, when I haul resin, I get migraines from resin. Some of the resins, not all of them, give me migraines. So I have to take painkillers for that. And so I carry painkillers for that reason. But the last series of trucks that I've had, they had antifreeze leaks all the time. And so I was constantly getting migraines from the truck. I had to put a special hose on the blowout for the radiator, because the blowout would blow the antifreeze all over the motor. So I had to put a hose on it to run the blowout down underneath the truck so it wouldn't blow out on the motor and then gas me. It's a major design flaw for Peterbilt. I don't know what they were smoking.
Right.
But my dad was having the same problem. My dad's real sensitive like I am. And and then the DPF though, he's acting up, and so I get fumigated from that too. You know, from diesel exhaust fumes. So between the radiator and the DPF, and I think I'm allergic to the fuels, because when I quit Ericsson and went to grabbing a local fuel tanker. Eric was the chemical tanker company. When I left there and went to go haul fuel in Kansas City, I could only do that for about 6 months. I got sick. I was constantly sick. I was having migraines. It messed me up. I couldn't do it. So I had to quit doing that. I couldn't haul fuel. I can't haul fuel because I have a reaction to the benzene or something in the fuel. And so I'm here in the truck, and I'm breathing the fumes every day, all day long. So I think that's part of my allergy issues. I'm around all these chemicals all the time. another reason I want to get out of trucking, and I want to get out of hazmat tankers. Because I've been taking all my herbs. I take herbs every day almost. On average, about 2 times a day. Sometimes I'll take them once a day. Sometimes I'll take them 3 times a day. It just all depends. I'm taking my vitamins regularly, mostly vitamin B's and vitamin C's. Well, only one vitamin C. But I take a lot of vitamin B and I take a lot of vitamin C. I get other vitamins too, vitamin E, vitamin A, but those are the only other two that I actually take besides a multivitamin. So I get a lot of vitamins, and then I get those vitamin gummy bears. So, you know, I chew on those too.
Which probably all have, you know, yellow 3 and red 40 and whatever other numbers I can make up to go with the rainbow.
Right. I never thought about that. But, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, they sneak it in. Because it's all approved and it looks prettier if it's bright color and, you know, it's, yeah.
But yeah, now that I'm getting off the road, I can forage more. You know, I'm going door to door. I can't forage in people's yards per se, but
you don't necessarily want to either.
Probably not. But you know, if I'm walking and I see a vacant lot that doesn't look like it's been poisoned, you know, I might be able to forage in that vacant lot or in a, you know, a park or something. But at the same time, I'll be home. I'll be living with my grandma and possibly even hanging out with my dad a lot because I'll be going into business with my dad. At my grandmother's, I will be creating a food forest there. Not a big one because she's not going to be around that much longer. And from talking to my mother, they're pretty much going to have to liquidate everything because
wow.
I have three relatives. So, but my aunt is living in my other grandmother's house. So I can possibly start a food forest over there and get my aunt healthier as well. Who knows? I mean, there's all kinds of options. What I thought about doing was buy my own little vacant lot that might have a house on it or, you know, like a little shack or maybe just has the concrete pad. You know, as long as it's got a concrete pad, I'm happy. You don't have to have a house on it. And I can build a cordwood house on it. And it's right there. Bam. You know. Every time
freak
I go
out. Home. Well, you might have building codes in that area, so watch it.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'll just tell them I'm building a shed that I'm going to live in. I don't care about the codes. To hell with them. You know, to hell with the New World Order.
It's a stack of firewood.
Right. Case in cement to preserve it. But
yeah.
Now, what I was thinking was it'd be better if a shack that needed to be fixed up. And I could do the cordwood on the outside of it. And if they say anything, I'll say, what? It's just siding.
and then take the shack away later.
Perhaps. Or leave it in, you know. But, I mean, all I got to do is say, you know, it needed new siding. So I put up my own siding for insulation. siding and insulation? No, all I did was resurface it. Nothing wrong with that. You know, there's no laws against that I know of. You know. So, yeah.
So what if your siding is 18 inches thick and gives you so much insulation that you basically don't even need any heat in the winter?
Right? Especially if you put up a privacy fence and you have all kinds of food growing around you. You know, evergreens to insulate your yard, block your house from winds. That's
I don't know about Kansas City, but when I was out in California, City of Vallejo had laws against putting up fences on the front of your property so that people couldn't see inside your yard. All right? So, unfortunately, my wife didn't go along with it, but my answer to that was I started to grow plants that were taller right there at the very beginning. A living head. You know?
What'd the city say about that?
I never got in full swing on it because my wife wasn't keen on it, you know?
No.
And I wasn't a bully. You know, there wasn't too many things I forced her to do. You know, the credit card thing was something I forced her to do, and I regret that. But,
what'd you do? Cut up all your credit cards?
Yeah, every last one. Well, we were deeply in debt. We got married and we were deeply in debt, both of us. And literally, we didn't have enough money to buy diapers. I got pregnant right away. So, you know, here's little Julian coming along, and I only got 8 months to figure this out because, you know, we'd been married for a month and she's already pregnant. And
you're already broke.
And we're already broke.
And deeply in debt.
Yeah, so, you know, I looked it over and it's like, well, it's pretty amazing. You know, I took us from being completely in debt, all of our extra money going to paying off this loan, that loan, credit card, and all this other stuff, to in less than 9 months, having only the house and the car. And we were able to afford diapers.
She didn't like that.
No, she didn't like that, but she didn't say anything about it. I think because she realized the same thing I realized. It just took her a long time before she started working around me and behind my back on it, you know. And, you know, I didn't discuss it with her. That was the problem. I just did it.
Right?
Okay. And, you know, it needed to be done. But I should have discussed it with her.
Yeah, see, my ex and I, we discussed it. She actually went to the Dave Ramsey seminar group thingy that they were doing. And
I never heard of Dave Ramsey back then. So
after your deal. I don't think Dave Ramsey was around then, but Dave Ramsey was around for us. She went to the Dave Ramsey seminar while I was on the road because I'm a truck driver. I went to one or two of the seminars because I was in town for them. But by the time it was over, I could only go to like a couple of them. But anyway, we were working on trying to implement them, but we didn't have the discipline to see it through between the two of us. I mean, I was partly to blame. She was partly to blame. We both had issues. And we were trying to work it out, though, but we just didn't. But, yeah.
Yeah.
Fencing. Oh, yeah, city codes. So,
yep.
Ford.
Sidetrack. City codes.
Right, we're at Hall. But, Yeah, my way of getting around the city codes is fine. There's something that needs to be picked up. It's run down. Like my ex-wife, last wife, she sold her house to We Buy Ugly Houses for a measly $3,000. And then they turned around and sold it, didn't touch it. They didn't do anything to it. They turned around and sold it for $12,000.
Yeah.
So even if I buy something from We Buy Ugly Houses and get something for $10,000, which I prefer not to, I'd rather buy it from an individual. So I'll make up my own flyer and say, I buy ugly houses. But I'm only looking to buy one. And I'll buy one, and I'll fix it up. And that'll be my place or our place to stay while we're in Kansas City. And we'll do a little permaculture there for, you know, free food and medicine while we're in town. And, because if I go, well, doing this job, I'll be in Kansas City most of the time. If I go into business with my dad, I'll be in Kansas City, you know, a lot. For that reason as well. And my other two business partners are in Kansas City, so, you know. But I will need to make, you know, time for the farm and the land. And if my dad decides to go into business with me, maybe he'll come down and help with the farm too eventually once he retires.
Right. Well,
once he sees that this stuff really works.
Yeah. Well, Bill's telling me that if we just start building the hoop house in the wintertime, firing up a wood fire inside that hoop house, it's more than warm enough in there, and if you're living in it, the fire's doing two things.
Right.
So, you know, we don't have to spend as much as he did to build his.
How much did he spend?
Quite a bit. You'll have to ask him. But I think he paid about double what he needed to.
Yeah. So he spent about $5,000 instead of $3,000.
Something like that, yeah. You know, because he put twice as many ribs as there needs to be, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You know...
Well,
we have everything we need to bend it. If we buy lots of poles in bulk and just store them so they don't rust, people see our hoop houses like, yeah, we can build those for you. You know? And then, you know, we can build them for people.
Right.
You know, and we can just make it longer and longer and longer, and I'm sure the tax assessor will say, oh, that's a $20,000 structure. You need to pay, you know, more in tax, you know, whatever. But, you know, so, you know, we end up taking parts of it apart, and people ask, well, what happened? Well, they're taxing us too much for having it.
Right. That's the thing. If we're a business and they're taxing us to death, we got to pass that tax on to you, the customer.
Yeah.
In order to save business. Otherwise, we'll go bankrupt. So ultimately, the consumer pays all the taxes. wonder why they're poor.
Yep.
Quit buying shit. Or quit buying stuff through the New World Order process to where you have to pay taxes. Go CES or go barter or go under the table. It's kind of like what India we were talking about, where they're going, they're basically forcing them to go digital.
Digital currency, yeah, that's India. Honestly, I don't know when it happened, but I read about it about I read an article that was about 2 or 3 weeks old now, and my understanding of the article is that it happened 3 weeks before the article was written. Basically, sometime in the last year, they pulled all the small bills out of the Indian market and didn't replace them. Now, they plan on replacing them, but they hadn't replaced them yet, and it's resulting in starvation because a lot of small businesses are literally going out of business because they can't make change. So, you know, go to the corner cafe and, you know, want to pay for coffee or whatever. You know, it'd be like going to the local gas station and handing them a 50. I want to buy $20 worth of gas. Sorry, can't sell you $20 worth of gas. Why not? Because they don't have any change for your 50. Because they took... Now, in India, they don't have 1s, 5s, 10s, and 20s, but what they did was the equivalent of taking away anything 20 and below.
Right.
You know? It's like, so... You know, how are you going to buy small items? You're not. And most people don't buy in bulk. You know?
Right.
So, I suppose if you're living wisely, you know, you probably wouldn't have been affected by that. But, anyway... Supposedly, they did it in order to shake out all the quote-unquote black money. And about 20% of India's economy was what they called black money. And that's money that was not reported to the government. And basically, you know, it was about 20% of their currency floating around that wasn't, nobody was paying tax on it. Well, more power to them. And quite frankly, their actions aren't going to stop the quote-unquote black economy. It will continue, and if anything, it'll continue more intelligently in the future. You know, quite frankly, it wouldn't have stopped that because people doing such investments would have invested in gold and silver in the first place in order to preserve their funds, and so they wouldn't have captured that.
Right.
So, but the other thing that they did is it forced a lot of people to go into purely digital commerce. You know, so some of the store shops that were able to invest in the machine were able to get a digital currency, you know, exchange device, whatever. And so, you know, like here in America, everybody has a credit card. So it's no problem. If they pulled everything 20 and below, honestly, it would force me to save up my money. Because I wouldn't be able to spend anything. You know? People would tally up how much they owed me and say, okay, well, I got a 50. Here. I expect 4 more hours of labor out of you. You know? So, I'd come back and do 4 more hours of labor for them.
There you go.
Yep. Whatever. Okay, interesting. Somebody sent me a link to the first case of child abuse.
You child abuser.
No. But it was kind of an interesting article because it pointed out the relationship between Child Protective Services and the various agencies for the prevention of cruelty to animals.
Because we are animals.
Well, I'm not pro-child abuse by any means, but a lot of these do-gooder agencies are not really do-gooders.
Oh, I know.
You know, and, you know, I'm not for the abuse of animals either. You know, for whatever reason, if an animal has thrown its lot in with mankind, you know, it should be cared for. You know? So, sticking a bunch of animals in a small barn and never feeding them, that's, you know, that's animal abuse. So, now, did I go over there and steal your animals because you're abusing your animals? Well, no.
Maybe.
But I should at least go talk to you and see if I can, you know, take some of those animals off your hands. You know?
What if I refuse?
Well, yeah.
How dare you tell me I can't abuse my animals?
Yep. Cool inventions you can buy on Amazon. Interesting.
Cool or cruel?
Cool. Yeah, this is somebody's YouTube channel. I'm not sure exactly why it was sent to me. No? It's not somebody's YouTube channel. Okay, their YouTube channel apparently went defunct. And I'm on the YouTube homepage. Interesting. Well, okay, I'll just close that.
Wow, it's already 8 o'clock.
8:14. Are you tired already?
I'm always tired. I'm a truck driver.
Yeah, it's not like we've actually, you know, done anything, but, you know, yeah, okay. All right, here's Alfred Addis, Addis Law. He did an article on man or other animals. Let's see, how long is this? Do we want me to read this with my halting voice? Probably not.
How long is it?
Yeah, I'm still trying to scroll down. It looks like the cursor has moved about a quarter way down the screen. Yeah, I'm not going to read the whole thing.
Come on.
Let's see now. I might read the first few paragraphs. That's it. He wrote this. Didn't say when he wrote it. Huh. Let's see if I can scroll real fast and find the bottom. Whoa. Okay, he filed this September 7th, 2006.
Long time ago.
All right. So, well, yeah, he filed the statement following, which you and I might be interested in going over later, but I'm not sure we should read it during the podcast. Anyway, if you go to... okay, here's the web address. adask.wordpress.com. Oh, here we go. Here's the date. /2008/06/17. Man or other animals, one, with a slash. Now, all those words will have a hyphen between them. So it'll be man hyphen or hyphen other hyphen animals hyphen and then the number one. Okay. That will give you this article. Okay, so basically it was written June 17th, 2008. All right. I am one of several defendants being sued by the Attorney General of Texas for $25,000 per day each. That is $750,000 per month or over $9 million per year for each alleged defendant. The issue centers on the manufacture and distribution of colloidal silver, which the government declares as being a drug. This case started with an investigation in AD 2001 against the original three defendants, a husband, his wife, and their corporation. They reportedly spent $160,000 on attorneys, went broke, filed the divorce, and left the state of Texas. Three more defendants, a man, his business, and his trust, were joined to the case in January AD 2005. I volunteered to be fiduciary for his trust in spring of AD 2006 and was soon added as the seventh defendant. Yeah, so he stuck his foot in it. Got stuck. Don't touch tar babies is what you learn from this one.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so the Attorney General's office admitted that after 7 years of investigation and hearings, estimated to have cost the state nearly $500,000, they haven't found a single person who has been injured or damaged by the defendant's colloidal silver products, nor have they found a single customer or supplier who's been defrauded out of a dime's worth of payment or products. Nevertheless, the state is suing all seven defendants for over $9 million per year each. Initially, the Attorney General's office was bombarding all alleged defendants with certified mail containing new charges, amendments, motions every two to four weeks. However, after I sent the following documentation on October of AD 2006, the Attorney General's office went dead silent for 5 months. When they finally returned, the chief administrative judge for Travis County took control of the case and worked for 3 months to cause us to reach an out-of-court settlement with the Attorney General's office, wherein he would not be required to pay one dime in fines for the attorney's fees to the Attorney General's office. The Assistant Attorney General in charge of the case confided that during his 22 years in the Attorney General's office, that one, he'd never seen a judge work so hard to engineer an out-of-court settlement, and two, he'd never heard of the Attorney General's office being willing to not only abandon all claims of fines, but even abandon all claims of attorney's fees against the defendants. Okay. Must have been some effective paperwork.
Yeah.
We had two more judicial hearings in November of AD 2007, and when the court and the Attorney General's office went dead silent again, now for 7 months, the Attorney General's office has now been silent on this matter for 12 out of the last 18 months. The case could start up again at any time, but we think we've stopped them. We think we've advanced arguments so strong, so politically explosive, that they don't dare take us to court and risk making case law on our arguments. Ouch. Yeah. Like, we don't even want that in the courtroom. Although we've advanced several strategies that we think might be unique and strong, the power of our case is our recognition that the federal and Texas laws regarding food and drugs presume man to be an animal, in quotes. This presumption is anathema to fundamental principles of the Declaration of Independence and of the Jewish, Christian, and probably Muslim faith. This man or other animal's presumption is blasphemous, absolutely contrary to any concept of religious freedom, and a violation of the First Amendment prohibition against the establishment of religion. I believe the man or other animal's insight may provide the foundation for the most important challenge to government power in a century or more. This insight triggers issues bigger than Roe versus Wade, even bigger than the civil rights movement of the 1960s and 70s. The government deems the people to be animals. In doing so, the government lays the foundation for treating us as slaves, human resources, and even exposes and even exposing the sovereign people of the United States of America to genocide. Really. There really is a single paragraph. I'm not sure. Well, okay, there's not much more of the blueprint, so I'll keep reading that. The issue is of explosive power because when President Nixon initiated the war on drugs in AD 1971, he based that war on a definition of drugs that presumes man to be an animal. Nixon's war on drugs laid the foundation for the modern police state, wherein the majority of the police activity is based on pursuing people using or distributing drugs. That police state gave rise to the American prison industrial complex. That is the biggest prison complex in the world. And jails a higher percentage of Americans than any other legal system in the world. In our brave new prison industrial complex, at least 70% of the prisoners are there for drug-related crimes. The suggestion that 70% of the prison industrial complex and probably 70% of the modern police state is built on a war, on the war on drugs, which in turn is built on a tiny legal definition that expressly declares man to be an animal and thereby violates the fundamental constitutional religious principles. The whole goddamn police state, wow, he's goddamned, police state is built on the presumption that people are animals. And to the best of my knowledge, I may be the first layman to read the law in almost 100 years and realize the spiritual implications of the phrase man or other animals.
All right.
Well, yeah, it's you know, over 100 years that's been in place. Look up the laws on food and drugs, and yeah, everything they wrote is based on man or other animals. Just do a Google search for man or other animals, and you'll see in your state that they have a lot of laws based on that phrase. You know, you don't say ducks and other buildings. All right? That implies that a duck is a building. Ducks are not buildings, okay? You don't say rocks and other birds, okay? Rocks and stones are not avian, you know?
Sticks and stones. Sticks all right, and other
so, stones. It's either really bad grammar written into the law or it's assuming that man is an animal, and, you know, I know there's a lot of people out there that assume man's an animal. Okay, that's fine. That's your religion, all right? But if you're a Bible believer, man was given dominion over the animals. Further, man was told not to practice authority one man over another. So for the only way for you to follow the Bible and practice authority over another man is to assume the other man is an animal. And you're not supposed to do that. All right, so I'll continue. You know why I may be the first to understand the man or other animals in most of a century? Because the good Lord lets me see. I'd like to take credit, but I know it's not true. The good Lord has been slowly educating me for now 25 years. Why he does so is a mystery to me. Perhaps he's preparing me for something, or maybe not, but he helps me to understand. He helps me to see, and so I have. The following document was the first public expression of my understanding of the man or other animal's laws. The Attorney General's office has now invested at least 6 years and perhaps $500,000 in this case. I can't prove it, but I believe that the insights in the following document shut them down. If that's so, that's evidence of serious power. I believe the insight contained in the following text may ultimately destroy or at least cripple the U.S. police state and prison industrial complex. And then there's billions of dollars of major pharmaceutical corporation profits, all of which depend on the mere words of a seemingly innocuous definition of drugs. I had this insight for most of 2 years, and every time I again really considered it and its implication, I got chills. This is big. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Then the rest of it, the rest of the article is the document that he filed. And someday I will read it. Maybe I should read that as my extracurricular podcast for those who want to. Yeah, it's a bit longer than what I just read.
Extracurricular podcast.
Anyway, yeah, again, that's available at ADASK, ADASK .wordpress.com/2008/06/17/man-or-other-animals-1/. All right. I tell you what, his filing that he put in has in it lots of references. And it doesn't look like he did something stupid like saying, according to Black's Law Dictionary. By the way, Black's Law Dictionary and all the other law dictionaries are good resources, but you don't quote them, not in a legal document. Whenever they give a definition, they refer to a given court case. So you go and get a copy of that court case and you read through it until you find where that word was defined and you quote that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow, he quoted all sorts of stuff. Now, I listen to his podcast a lot, but he talks about Texas law a lot. I live in Missouri. It's my experience that all the states have parallel laws, but, you know, let's see if I can find an example here. Nope. There we go. So he'll read Statute 778 and Public Law 103-322, all right, and that might be of the Texas Code, all right. It will not be the same numbers in Missouri. And so I'd have to go and look up and see what that law is saying in Texas Code, and I have to search through for similar language in the Missouri Code, and then quote those appropriate numbers in the Missouri Code. You know, and it might be a subtlety of difference of definitions too, so it might not be as effective. But might be funny though to go through the Missouri Code and find out that property taxes are based on, you know, man and other animals must pay their fair share. Well, I'm not another animal, so I don't know what kind of man you're talking about, but I'm not that kind of man.
Right.
Okay. Oh, that's funny. So he's quoting one of the laws that said man or other animals, drugs, in quote, means articles recognized in the official United States Pharmacopoeia National Formulary or other supplement to it. Articles designed or intended for the use in the diagnosis, cure, mitigation, treatment, or prevention of disease in man or other animals. Emphasis added. Articles, other than food, intended to affect the structure or any function of the body of man or other animals. Emphasis added. And articles intended for the use as a component of any article specified in this subsection. All right, so he's pointing out this, their definition of drugs is for man or other animals. And the assumption that man is an animal.
Animal.
Which is a direct violation of, you know, if you're a true Bible-believing Christian, it's a direct violation of your religious beliefs. If you're a Bible-believing Christian or a Jew, a Bible-believing Jew,
animal.
You do not recognize yourself as being an animal. Therefore, the law does not apply to you.
I'm a Bible-believing animal.
You're a Bible-believing animal. You're a self-contradiction.
Animal!
Yeah, you got a hold of one of those NIV versions of the Bible.
Probably.
One where it says, you know, and God gave animals dominion over mankind.
That's the prepper girl version.
Right.
Wait. That would be the vegan version of the Bible. We won't go there.
Yeah.
Man and other mammals.
Yeah, he's described this situation before in his podcast. He said when he first ran across it, he goes, well, that must have been a typo. You know, a mistake, right? But he's reading along through the stuff that they cited him with, and it's like, oh, wait a minute. Here it is again and again and again. Well, clearly they did this on purpose. What does that mean?
All right.
Okay, yeah, so now he's getting down to the nitty-gritty. I am a man endowed by my Creator with certain unalienable rights. I deny that I am an animal. I deny that I do business with animals. I eat animals. I am a Protestant Christian. I fear the Lord. I am sincere in my faith.
Right. You and me, baby, ain't nothing but mammals.
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Genesis 1:1, the Bible.
Right.
Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth.
Every creepy crawler?
Every creepy crawler. Yeah, we have dominion over that stuff.
And what does dominion mean exactly?
Dominion. Well, basically you rule over it. It's your prerogative to pretty much do with it as you please. So, you know, you run across a man who's abusing his animals. He's not exercising good stewardship, but, you know, he's, it wouldn't be appropriate. I mean, the man's rights supersedes the animal's rights, basically.
That does not make any sense, but then again, our God is not necessarily maybe a just God.
Well, my answer to that one is, if it really concerns you that he's abusing his animals, and it concerns your community, nobody should ever sell him any animals, and you should approach him and make him an offer he can't refuse. Pay him $1 million for his horse.
If that horse means that much to you.
If that horse means that much to you. Put your money where your mouth is.
If you can afford that much.
Get the community together and the whole community buy the horse from him. Make him a rich man. Just make sure he never gets another animal.
Oh, yeah. All that would do is encourage other people to abuse their animals.
Maybe. But if the whole community coughed up their money in order to stop them from abusing animals, that's a community effort.
Right.
It may not be the right solution, but, it, you know, that's my point is, though, you don't have to do violence to them, you know. And maybe you just wait until he kills off his animals and you just make sure nobody else ever, ever sells him another animal.
Right.
Plaintiff's attempt to equate all men with animals is an attempt to establish a pagan religion that is contrary to the principles of the Jewish and Christian faith and impose the pagan religion upon the people of the United States of America. That was point number...
Soviet States of America.
Yeah, well, that's not what he wrote, but, you know, so that was 22. Point 21, plaintiff's attempt to equate all men with animals deprives me of the benefit of religious freedom and the benefit of God-given unalienable rights.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Before that point, point 20. I am a man. The principal business of government and its officers is to secure my God-given unalienable rights. And he proceeds to describe how the plaintiff is attacking his rights. Right. And he has stuff in here that points out that not all members of the religious sect have to agree with this particular individual is placing the plea, only that the person sincerely believes his plea. By treating all men to be animals, the state withholds from me the important benefits and or unalienable rights of free association and pursuit of happiness. Huh. Yeah, I'm definitely going to read this through. And might translate it into Missouri law. Which might make it handy for you when they come after you and accuse you of practicing medicine without a license because you're selling your aromatherapies.
Right.
And your dad might be interested in this, since he likes to push paper.
I don't know that he likes pushing paper, but he's good at it, and it doesn't bother him, yeah. Or I don't like it. This website's giving me grief, too. The classified section of this website, people are supposed to be able to add pictures and or videos. But when you try to add advertisement to the classified section, it doesn't give you the option to add a photo. And then when you post it, it says there's no photo. And but you don't have an option to put a photo. But it looks like you had the option, but you didn't put one. And you can't put one. And I can't figure out how to fix that.
You write the admin and say, what the heck?
I am the admin.
Well, write yourself and say, what the heck?
I already did that.
And the tech support has no answer for you?
Well, the people who wrote the software, I'll have to contact them if I can't figure it out. But I'm trying to put in a new field in the classified section, but there's no option to put in the field for a picture. The only option is text. Radio buttons, flip buttons, dates, location, country, price, birthdays, and website. Which, you know, they can put all that in the HTML section. They don't need the birthday or the country necessarily. But yeah, there's no option for pictures and videos. Drop-down box. It's weird. It's a glitch. In the software.
Oh, shame on them.
Shame on them. Ring.
The effect of sovereign citizen nonsense on family members. Oh my.
So yeah, I'm going to have to contact them and say, "Hey, there's a problem with your software." I'm not that good at writing code, so I'm not going to be able to override it with the code. I'll have to contact my business partner and have him try to override it, write code into the software to override it if they can't fix their own software. But I'm sure they want to fix their own software.
Anybody want to buy a $100 bottle of hair conditioner?
A what?
Oh, this guy. He's attacking pyramid schemes and basically the Patriot movement at the same time. He's using both the scams and he's, you know. So it'd be worth reading because he points at the foolishness.
So he says somebody wants to buy a what bottle of air conditioning?
It's just one of the blogs.
I'm sorry, what?
It was one of the blogs on his site, and it was one of the pyramid schemes.
So somebody's selling a bottle of air conditioning?
Well, yeah. Anybody want to buy a $100 bottle of hair conditioner?
Oh, hair conditioner. I thought you said air conditioner.
Yeah. Hair conditioner.
Sure, I'll buy a $100 bottle of hair conditioner.
Right. It's a 250 milliliter bottle, which is about, I guess, 8 ounces. Up the top of my head, I don't really know. I'm just guessing. Anyway. Anyway, but it is apparently it's a multi-level marketing product from Israel. Okay. So, by the time it's passed through enough hands, the bottle probably costs you about $100.
Right.
You buy it for. Oh, the next guy buys it for two, the next guy buys it for three, 100 people down the line, they're paying over $100 for it.
Pretty much.
All right.
That's basically how multi-level works.
Yeah.
Depends on how many people in your upline get commission off of it.
Yeah.
That's why you can only do like a three-tier level. Successfully. Otherwise, you get your hands in the pot.
Yeah. My wife pulled me into this MLM for refinancing your house. All right.
Oh.
And it was supposed to be like 0% interest. But I started asking about the details, right? It's like, well, yeah, it starts out 0% interest, but yes, they can raise the rates over time, all right? But, you know, you'll have refinanced by the third year, so you never have to worry about it ever going over 3%.
Oh, so it's like 1% a year.
Yeah, basically. And so, well, what if you get stuck? All right.
And you can't refinance.
Yeah, what if you get stuck and you don't qualify for the refinance? It's like, oh, well, that'll never happen. Yeah, like bullshit, that always happens.
Well, even still, as long as you don't go over 5%.
Well, yeah, and it rose much faster than that. I checked into it. It's like by the fifth year, you'd be worse off than if you just stayed with a high interest loan.
Right.
You know.
So it's like every 6 months or every quarter they raise the interest.
Yeah. You know, and you know, the way the person was pushing it, supposedly you could make money by helping your friends and neighbors, you know, refinance their homes. Well, who's going to pay for all those profits? Ultimately,
right.
Your friends and neighbors, who the rates get raised at maximum rate, even though, yeah.
Right.
Oh, my wife was really pissed at me that I didn't go for that. It's a good investment. You should do it. It's like, no, it's not. The opposite of what we want to be doing.
Yeah, I got roped into a few multi-levels, but nothing's crazy like that one.
Yeah, that was insane. I mean, you know, it started out as a 0% loan, but I don't remember what the numbers were, but I know it was more than 1% per year. But, you know, it's like, but the lady tried to sell an office. Well, they don't have to raise the rate at every point. It's like, what bank do you know does not maximize its profit at every turn?
Pretty much.
Okay. So they're going to raise the rates. And if they don't raise the rates, it's because we're on the beginning level of this, and they want to make it look good until they squeeze as many people as they can all at once.
Right.
Now, I got my just rewards when 3 years later that lady who was selling it to us had lost her house because she was invested in it.
What'd your wife say then?
She was quiet, but she'd been bugging me all that time up until then. And I kept pointing out to her, listen, I had to separate our bank accounts because you spent all of our bill money before we could pay the bills. You know, you're not going to save the money that we save. So we're not going to pay off the house any faster if we do this. Yeah.
It was a great spender.
She was a big spender. I made the mistake of showing her thrift stores. At first she was resistant, but then she went gangbusters on thrift stores. Right. And it did slow down her spending rate. What it did is it increased the rate at which she overfilled the closet.
Right, you just had to have more yard sales.
Yeah, yeah. Basically, I'd put a hanger in her closet and would mark it. And as that hanger moved to the back and got crushed, anything behind it that she didn't pull out, I took to the thrift store.
Yeah, I did something similar, and it got me in trouble with my last wife.
Yeah, well, it's funny, because she actually bought some of the items and brought them home again.
That's messed up.
And I don't think she really noticed.
That's, yeah, but she obviously liked it, because she bought it a second time.
Yeah, and those kind of things, you know, I took note of, but still. But she didn't like it enough to wear it. That's what was happening. If it ended up in the back of the closet, she wasn't wearing it.
True.
You know? And just as self-defense, to have enough room in the closet to put my own clothes, you know, she had over 3/4 of the closet, and it was a big closet.
Yeah. I did something similar, but I actually made money off the ordeal. The things that we weren't wearing, kids included, I'd take to my booth and I would sell it.
There you go.
And so then I would donate it and write it off on my taxes. But I got in trouble for that. Because, you know, it was obvious that I was doing it. I wasn't, you know, trying to do anything behind her back. I was just like, you know, we're not wearing this stuff. Get rid of it. She got pissed off at me.
Yeah.
And most of it was stuff that I bought her. You know? Because I ended up buying most of her clothes because I had better taste or something. I don't know. Plus, I like buying clothes for my woman. You know, I don't know why. I just do. And I'm a great shopper. I would make, you know, I should look into that when I get off the road. I should look into being a professional shopper. Because I pick, oh, man, I tell you what.
Well, actually, I've looked into those. The money to be made in being a secret shopper.
Not a secret shopper, a professional shopper.
Okay.
You go with someone and you help them shop. You help them pick out things, you know. So women are very...
Okay, that book I'm reading, that's what makes you a metrosexual in her book.
Exactly. I am a metro.
Okay, so you agree with her.
Yeah. If I wasn't straight, I would be gay. I would make a great gay guy if I wasn't straight.
Oh, God. I don't think I know you.
I mean, you know, I'm just saying. Gay guys are known for their taste and style. I have taste and I have style. And I, ever since I was a kid, I was always really good at, you know, I would go to the malls and girls would take me shopping with them to help them pick things out growing up. And all of my exes, well, maybe not all of them, but most of my exes, I bought their clothes because they didn't have very good taste. I made them look good. Besides, well, not just in clothes. I mean, with the aromatherapy, the skincare products, all the stuff that I do, I added youth to every woman I dated.
All right. Not that I want to date you. But one of these days when you come back in town, you're going to have to go shopping with me and help me select appropriate T-shirts and overshirts, things like that.
You may not like it because it might advertise other people. And it may not have pockets.
I insist on pockets, and I do not want to advertise Coca-Cola or other products and such.
I know. I'm just playing.
I will pay for Batman advertisement.
I'm just messing with you. But, yeah, I mean, that's one of my gifts. And I really probably should be making some money off of it.
There you go. So you have to do a before and after photo of me, and we go shopping, and you use that as, you use me as your guinea pig.
Guinea pig. Oh, you mean for advertising on my website for the job or for my portfolio for the job?
Yeah, you'll do the whole nine yards. Get me a haircut and everything and, you know, pose me.
Oh, God. Now I'm scared.
Don't worry, ladies. I refuse to do Speedos.
I'm not going there.
Yeah, there's limits to what he can do to me, but I can wear my typical work clothes for the before picture, and then he can take me into town and I will buy clothes and whatever as he suggests on my budget. You know, I'm a limited budget guy. I'm a limited budget guy.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, you know, well, yeah, I don't go into the, I don't typically do the underwear department. Unless it's my woman. That's the only time I do the underwear department.
To be quite frank, I don't plan on going around in my underwear. I'll wait until I get a love life, and she can go underwear shopping with me.
That's what I suggest.
But in the meantime, if that's your skill, maybe your skill will result in me getting a girlfriend when we go hit the various churches.
There you go. Yeah, I remember one time when I was with my second wife, I had a booth, or they called them a kiosk, at the, was it the BX or the commissary? I think it was at the, no, yeah, it was the Base Exchange. So it was at the BX. So in the breezeway, in the BX, when you first go in, there was people with kiosks, and I was one of them. The people next to me sold bonsais. And one time I went in, and, you know, I had my look, and I asked the woman next to me with the bonsais if I looked good, if I looked presentable. Does this match? Does it coordinate? Whatever, blah, blah, blah. Because, you know, I was asking a woman because women tend to have those traits. And she goes, you know, for a guy, you do really well.
In other words, you screwed up.
No, apparently I was okay. But she said, you know, she was basically speaking in general. Every day that she sees me, she goes, for a guy, you do really well. And maybe that's why I have a hard time picking up women, because they probably think I'm gay.
No, that tends to make them more interested in you, because A, you're safe, and B, maybe they can convert you.
Oh, well, maybe I need to act gay so they can try to convert me.
Yeah, just stay away from me when you do that.
Well, no, you're my prop. I have to present you as my boyfriend. I mean, my girlfriend.
We're out of here. That ain't happening. My masculine insecurity says no.
Oh, goodness.
And I will go out and buy a rifle to enforce it if I need to.
A rifle, an air rifle.
Yeah, actually, I'd like to do that. But, I mean, you know.
Yeah, I like that one that we saw for, how much was it, $1,000 for the long-range one?
Yeah, that was $1,000. But that's one shot at a time. You got to load up a new shot every time.
Right, that's a sniper rifle.
Well, yeah, whatever. It was for hunting.
Right, but it's basically a sniper. Most all sniper rifles are single shotters.
Okay. Well, I suppose with a little bit of practice, you could load it pretty quick and fire the next one. But the third one he showed us was also $1,000. And apparently, it might not have been a semi-auto, but it didn't require you to take the bullet by hand and place it in the chamber.
Okay.
You might have to pull back on something in order to get the next bullet to load or whatever, but you know, you know, you didn't have to sit there and fumble around with the bullet and make sure you stick it in right. You know. It might be interesting. You actually stuck the bullet in backwards and tried to fire it, you know.
Well, I guess most old-school sniper rifles were single-shot. A lot of the new-school ones that I'm looking at now take clips, or magazines, but some of them don't. The older ones that I'm looking at don't.
Right.
The cartoon one. It's not even real.
Ew! Blacklisted news. Some fragrance in the U.S. may be made using urine, antifreeze, and other unlawful ingredients.
But yeah, deodorant has antifreeze in it.
Great. Well, actually, deodorant has aluminum compounds in it.
Yep.
And it works by making a slurry in your pores that prevents the sweat from even coming out.
Right.
Which results in toxic buildup in your armpits, and you get boils and cancer in your armpit from using deodorant. Whoopee! I don't stink, but I'm going to die early.
Well, I don't stink, but I have boils.
That too, yeah. Yeah, I can't put my arms down because, you know.
Yeah. Sounds like fun. I want boils. Give me some boils.
Yeah. With a stroke of a pen, Donald Trump will wave goodbye to the Dodd-Frank Act. Okay. I have no idea what that is.
Me neither.
Ooh.
Okay, here is a sniper air rifle. let's see here. A 22 Black Op sniper tactical break barrel air rifle. Oh, break barrel? Never mind. That's one of the cheap Walmart type styles. Yeah, it's only $250. That's not going to go very far. Yeah, never buy a break barrel air gun. What was the website? I should put it on our DD&D, but I didn't.
Okay, I successfully got sucked into a tabloid-type article.
You idiot!
Are pursuing it, but you know, apparently some woman slashed a man's throat and declared herself to be Jesus Christ and, you know, whatever, whatever. And police showed up because somebody reported an attempted suicide, and it turned out to be the victim survived it. anyway, that's as far as I read, because, you know, it's a tabloid story. It doesn't really, you know, crap happens. We don't necessarily have to pay attention to it.
Rifles.
Do you still have a link to that rifle that I last sent you?
Probably not. But I'm at Air Gun Depot. I think that's where we saw it.
Well, actually,
here it is. Oh, it's $1,700.
Okay, yeah, it was on sale when I first found it.
It's a 45 caliber sniper air rifle.
That's, you know, where are... That's a contact. That's not messaging. There we go, messaging. Oh, have you looked at that cat cartoon I sent you?
No.
You should read it.
Oh, yeah, I did look at it. Okay, it had a bunch of cats on the lion thingies, and the guy was holding the chair at it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was funny.
Yeah, I thought you'd think so. That was out of today's comic.
Cool.
Let's see now. Where is... There we go. Joe Chrisman. Do-do-do. Do-do-do. There it is. No. It's Chief Flight to Manila. Well, that's weird.
So, yeah, airgundepot.com.
Apparently, Joe has multiple...
sclerosis?
Oh, wow. Yeah, he has two phone numbers. And so I was looking for the text message where he sent me the information for this. Oh, yeah, he's the one that sent me the out-of-the-world thing.
So, two podcasts. No, let's see here. January 22nd podcast, we got 4 likes.
Woohoo.
And then January 29th podcast, we got 6 likes.
Okay, this I'm about to send you is the last one that Joe sent me a link for.
I could have swore there was one that we had 5 likes for.
Yeah, we're moving up the world. People actually like us. Woo-hoo!
Hey, like and share, like and share. Oh, I created the Facebook groups so they can go to DementedDungeonsAndDragons.com. I mean, Demented Dungeons and Dragons Facebook. And this one, we didn't get any likes, but we got 2 shares. So I just liked it, so we got 1 like. Oh, hey, this one, we got 8 likes.
Oh, my. What did we talk about?
It was November 20th of 2016.
Was that the Messed Up podcast?
I don't remember. Let me play it. It's a 2.5-hour podcast.
Hello, and welcome to the D&D Comedy Channel, Demented
Okay, that's horrible. Shut it off.
It was the DDD Comedy Channel, the DungeonsandDragons.com.
Yeah, that sounded horrible. Shut it off.
Basically, it was November 20th of 2016 podcast. So what I'll do, maybe, is use the face. This only got two likes and two shares. What I'll do, maybe, is post ones that people like on our Facebook group or our Facebook page. We got a bunch of them back in October. We got three likes on. I think that might have been after we... Oh, yeah, that was after the PK podcast. It was right after the PK podcast. Our PK podcast got 3 and 4 likes on them. 2, 3, and 4 likes on them. So somebody went back and listened to them because at first we didn't get any likes. But if somebody's listening to us.
Woohoo.
Yeah. Nobody's calling in, but they're listening. And apparently they like us enough to give
us...
Well,
honestly, the call-in procedure is a little complicated, so, you know, they got an excuse.
It's not that complicated. You call 563-999-2010 and type in an access code 256012. You're done.
Uh-huh. I didn't catch that.
Podcast. Submit at DungeonsandDragons.com. Dial 563-999-2010. Access code 256012. Sundays at 7 p.m. EST, 8 p.m. CDT.
Okay. And I'm sending you
I never did announce our sponsors.
Sponsors? We got sponsors?
Yeah, me.
I sponsor myself.
Yeah, if you're a truck driver, check out, or if you're single and don't discriminate against truck drivers, check out truckerdate.com. That's my main website. Well, it's one of my main websites that I've been working on since 2003.
Right. No lot lizards.
No lot lizards, although I never had problems with lot lizards. I have problems with catfish.
And the difference is?
Well, there's a big difference. Lot lizards are prostitutes, catfish, scam artists.
Oh, as in they promise, but don't give product.
Right, and all they do is take thousands of dollars from your pocket.
Right.
But yeah, basically you can see everything that I do, or my projects and my partner's projects at kclamanagement.com. That's my management page. Need web development, web hosting, kclainternational.com. And you can contact one of my business partners for web development, web hosting, and the whole nine yards. We also sell domain names. David Ray and I have an off-grid organic farm and retreat we're working on.
Were we raised hippies? I mean...
huh?
Nothing, I'm kidding. Hey, we raise hippies.
Oh, yeah, it's an off-grid organic hippie farm and retreat where we raise hippies. All our hippies are free-range organic hippies, and we ship them off to the West Coast.
Sometimes to the east.
Well, most of the hippies are on the West Coast.
Yeah. Well, you know, Florida's a good place for them, too.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, wherever there's a need for hippie, we ship them off. But our greatest need for hippies are in the West Coast, so we ship them there.
We found the ones that we ship off to, Iceland don't really do so well, so we tend not to ship them there.
Actually, I think they do better in Iceland than would Greenland.
Well, Iceland's a no bullshit place, so.
Yeah.
You know, they basically went through and exterminated all their bankers, you know.
Oh, the hippies might do good there then.
Yeah, maybe.
Just not the West Coast hippies.
No. All right.
West Coast hippies are more problem than they are solution. Most of them.
Okay, I sent you links to all of the air rifles that our friend Joe Mama has sent us. And the first one is still $1,500.
Oh, okay.
All right, but it was from a different company.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, you could check out all of my sponsors. I only really have three. That would be Trucker's Choice Weekly, Lenny Ladner at voteforlenny.com, truckerschoice.com, and then the Manor Motel, which is at manor-motel.com. Those are my three sponsors. They're mostly sponsoring two of my datelines, Truck Dates and Dating by the Signs.
All right.
We also have off-grid dating. People who listen to our podcast might be interested in off-grid dating. It will actually be called off-grid singles in the future. Because a lot of people ask me, how do you date off-grid? How do off, you know, the off-grid dating kind of eludes people.
I mean, you know, you can't have web access off-grid.
Sure you can. Oh, hey, look, we got 4 new members that signed up.
Woohoo. Yeah.
I have members signing up all the time. Let's see here. Registration date, January 26th. Somebody signed up. January 27th, somebody signed up. January 24th, somebody signed up. And February 5th, somebody signed up. I don't even advertise this site, and people are signing up.
Yep.
This one is a woman.
Oh, God. We had a woman sign up? That's the problem with off-grid dating.
Right now, it's just a social network because I'm still working on Trucker Date. Once I get Trucker Date up running the way I want it. Oh, this is a woman in Stockton.
Oh. Oh, my. What's that site again?
Stockton, Missouri. Female. Long-term relationship. Christian. Favorite books. King James Version. Oh, that's probably Deb. I don't know. She found it on YouTube. Her name is Deb. Oh, no, wait, that's not her name. Oh, no, it is Debbie. Oh, my gosh, because it shows her email address. But her username is Deb's a Lady. And it is Deb. I'm looking at her email address right now. It's Deb. She, Does she realize that's our website? I don't know.
That'd be funny.
She found it on YouTube, so somebody's talking about it, if not me. That's cool. All right. So Deb signed up. She found it on YouTube. That's funny. Okay. Denver. A dude from Denver signed up. He found it from Google. He just Googled it. Let's see here. A woman from Rio Rancho, wherever that is, signed up. She said a friend has an account. So she's friends with somebody who's already a member. The word of mouth.
Okay. Your site does not properly propagate on my Android device.
And then a dude signed up from Greensburg, wherever that is, and he found it on Facebook. Because I do have a Facebook page for it.
Yeah, Dwayne signed up 5 hours ago.
Yeah, that's him. Yeah, he signed up today, 5 hours ago.
T Farmer, 1013, signed up January 27th.
That's funny.
Hey, Lakey.
So anybody who signs up on the site now gets grandfathered in when I go to the new site and will be free members. They won't have to pay. So we got 86 members, and I'm not even advertising it. I got a Facebook page, and I mention it every once in a while on YouTube. I had some business cards made, but not a lot. I think just like maybe a couple hundred. I put them all out. I don't have any more. It was a test run, you know, just to see what would happen. And like I said, I haven't hardly been advertising it at all. And I got more people, I got almost as much people signing up for this site as I do Trucker Date. And I advertise Trucker Date all over the place. So this is going to be my next website that I'm going to upgrade. And it's going to be called Off-Grid Singles. I already own the domain name, offgridsingles.com. So, yeah, that's funny.
I'm not sure what name I'm signed up under on this deal, but we'll see how long before Deb figures out who I am.
You signed up under David-Ray with your Boulder-Dump email address.
Yeah, I signed in with the Boulder-Dump.
Okay. Yeah, David-Ray.
All right, so she'll know who it is right away.
Oh, yeah, your picture's on there.
Yeah, I said, hi, Deb, see you found our site.
She found it on YouTube, that's funny. Do I have a picture on here? I haven't even checked out my profile in forever. Prepper hasn't signed in since October 8th.
All right, well, that means she's looking.
Yeah.
Let's see now.
Maybe she's just looking for you.
I don't think so.
Just kidding. Just kidding. I don't know that I have a personal profile on here. So I didn't upload a photo.
Yeah, I can't get this to propagate properly. Anything to the right side of the screen I cannot look at.
Okay, there I am. I signed in not too long ago. Kaplinger Dawn is on here, too. Dawn signed up for it.
Yeah, but I think you told him about it directly.
Yeah, I told him directly. But he hasn't signed in forever. He's on the last page. He'll be surprised to see how many people are on here now. He hasn't logged in since January 1st of 2015.
We've had it for a long time.
Oh, yeah, we've had it since 2014.
Wow. So yeah. How do you add somebody as your friend? Or is that a right screen function?
Let me sign in with my phone.
The reason I can tell that I can't see the right side, because, okay, like here it says, this is a great way to help you learn about those who contact you. Choose one question that people, WH, blank, a message. I can't see anything past the WH. And I can't scroll over there to see it.
You can't shrink down?
Nope.
All right, hang on a second. I don't even know where you are. Are you on the profile question thing?
I'm actually on Deb's profile in the About Me.
Oh, okay. Hang on. Let me go to Manage Members.
It says, happy, easygoing, healthy food, like to chat more than... What? Oh, like cats more than dogs, laugh out loud.
Okay. And you can't scroll to the right or left?
No.
That's weird, because I can. Double click on it. Did it expand or shrink down?
No.
Because I can do that. I can shrink it.
Are you on a computer or a phone?
I'm on my phone. I got the same phone you do.
Huh.
I'm using Chrome. What are you using?
Firefox.
That might be why.
Yeah, try reloading the page and see what happens.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I've been having Firefox issues. What was I having issues with? Oh. My server. Let me open up Chrome and see if...
Oh, crap. It might resend the message I just sent her. All right, it reloaded. Same problem. It's worse if I do the phone up and down. Yeah, it cuts off everything. I put the phone long ways so I could see more, but it doesn't let me.
Renew domains. Hang on, I gotta test something because I couldn't renew my domain names on my server with Firefox. So I need to go to Chrome because my business partner. He was able to renew his domain names, and he's using Firefox, so I'm thinking that my Firefox is acting up. So I'm logging into my server using Chrome on my PC to see if it'll let me renew domain names.
Oh, my.
Oh, my.
I had email back in December 2014.
From who?
I don't know. It was a friend request from a girl.
Yay.
You have a profile. It's KCLA. I must have accepted it because I don't have any new friend requests.
No, something's wrong. I can't renew any domain names. I can't even do it with Chrome. I have to contact GoDaddy because that's where I have my reseller account.
All right. I'm bookmarking the site so that it goes in my regular rotation of checks. I must admit I've been delinquent. Listen, we're approaching the three-hour mark. You might want to run the Ron Paul.
Ron Paul Revolution! Thanks for reminding me.
Yep. Well, and I don't want you to have difficulty downloading and re-uploading this program.
Here's that. Here we go.
For Monday, February 6th. Every American who wrestles with a 1040 form or who pays someone to prepare their taxes no doubt cheered the news that Congress will soon resume working on tax reform. However, taxpayers should temper their enthusiasm because even in the unlikely event tax collection is simplified, tax reform will not reduce the American people's tax burden. Congressional leadership's one non-negotiable requirement of any tax reform is revenue neutrality. So any tax reform plan that has any chance of even being considered, much less passed, by Congress must ensure that the federal government does not lose a nickel in tax revenue. Congress's obsession with protecting the government's coffers causes reformers to mix tax cuts with tax increases. Congress's insistence on offsetting tax cuts with tax increases creates a political food fight where politicians face off over who should have their taxes raised, who should have their taxes cut, and who should have their taxes stay the same. One offset currently being discussed is an increased tax on imports. This border adjustment would benefit export-driven industries at the expense of businesses that rely on imported products. A border adjustment would harm consumers who use and retailers who sell imported goods. The border tax is another example of politicians using tax reform to pick winners and losers instead of simply reducing everyone's taxes. When I was in Congress, I was often told that offsets do not raise taxes. They simply close loopholes. This is merely a game of semantics. By removing a way for some Americans to lower their taxes, closing a loophole is clearly a tax increase. While some claim loopholes are another way government distorts the market, I agree with the great economist Ludwig von Mises that capitalism breathes through loopholes. By allowing the individuals to keep more of their own money, loopholes promote economic efficiency since, as economist Thomas DiLorenzo put it, private individuals always spend their own money more efficiently than government bureaucrats do. Instead of making the tax system more efficient by closing loopholes, Congress should increase both economic efficiency and economic liberty by repealing the income tax and replacing it with nothing. The revenue loss from ending the income tax should be offset with spending cuts. All federal spending, whether financed by taxes or by debt, forcibly removes resources from the private sector. Thus, all government spending is, in essence, a form of taxation. Therefore, cutting income and other taxes without cutting spending merely replaces one type of taxation with another. Instead of directly paying for big government via income taxes, deficit spending means citizens will be hit with an increase in the inflation tax. This tax imposed on the people with the Federal Reserve's monetization of debt is the worst form of tax because it is both hidden and regressive. Unfortunately, when Congress may make some small cuts in domestic spending, those cuts will be dwarfed by spending increases on infrastructure Keynesianism at home and military Keynesianism abroad. As long as Congress refuses to make serious reductions in spending, the American people will be subject to the tyranny of the IRS and the Federal Reserve. The suffering will only get worse when concerns over government's debt causes the dollar to lose its status as the world reserve currency.
To repeat the announcement, press 1.
Wait for it.
To repeat the announcement, press 1.
Do it now. Do it now.
To repeat the announcement, press 1.
Yeah! Taxation! That's our favorite subject.
Yep.
Taxation is theft-ation.
Wait a minute, that's not supposed to happen.
It was kind of perfect timing. Taxation is theftation.
I'm doing a little bit of YouTube research here, and it wasn't supposed to actually play, and I've been trying to figure out how to get things to play over the phone. I've got an app that'll let me do it, but it's rather clunky. That's the first time I had YouTube actually play while I was on the phone. But that is cool. The timing was good, but it wasn't supposed to happen. Oh, my God.
Yeah! CES.
Community Exchange System.
Yeah, we need to get signed up.
Well, yeah, I've been working on that.
Yeah, me too. It's like everywhere we try to sign up, it's dead. We got to go someplace else to try to sign up.
Right, I think that Indian community or whatever they are, I'm not sure exactly what they are. I want to talk to them and see if they got theirs working.
Yeah, I sent them an email, but I haven't heard back from them, probably because it's the weekend.
Possibly.
Or probably because I haven't checked my email. That might be a good reason.
That ominous music came from the link I just sent you. Judging by the title, it's probably going to be funny.
Cool. Checking my email now. I got to do this.
Messaging. I sent it to your message.
I know. Let's see. I'm looking for something I can delete. I have to delete something. Oh, okay, here we go. Good tie, girls. That. Now it'll bring in my mail. It won't synchronize unless I delete something. Ah, spiritual singles. I got a message. I got an email from Good Tie Girls. I got 2 emails from Spiritual Singles. But they did reply. Here we go. Thank you for your email. We are building our updated site now for launch with a focus on getting our time bank widely noticed. I think if things go to plan, you will be pleased with the steps we are making to progress our efforts for Ubuntu Living. Please feel free to write anytime you like, and if you have any questions, I'll be happy to help in any way I can.
Right, and I Google mapped them. They're an hour and a half from us. When you're in the area, we need to go check them out directly in person.
We'll do that.
And actually, some of the website stuff indicates that they're a lot like Cloudpiler.
That's what I was thinking. They're kind of a cross between us and Cloud.
Yeah, except they're a group. Cloudpiler is kind of by himself from what I can see.
Yeah, well, because he runs across people that he can't trust. He hasn't found enough people he can trust, probably.
Yeah.
You know, he's probably got trust issues.
Don't blame him.
I know, right? He had to run one of our friends off with the shotgun.
Yeah. We won't mess with yourselves.
No, but that's probably why he's reluctant to talk to me.
Yeah, because he's one of our friends, for one thing.
Right. Well, our mutual, our friend is an enemy of his. Two of our friends may be enemies of his.
Well, yeah, one of them with good reason. I'm not sure about the other.
Right. So. They may just have differences of opinion.
Yeah, I don't know about the... Oh, actually, yeah. Actually, one of his enemies referred us to him.
Well, we
I forgot about that.
We don't know that he's an enemy, but we know they have differences of opinions.
Yeah, concerning legal issues, actually, so...
Yeah.
It's like, well, actually, I have differences of opinion with the same friend, but he hasn't, you know... We haven't crossed swords with each other over it, you know, it's just... He wonders why I won't do certain things, and it's like, well, you know...
They got guns!
Yeah, they got guns.
And they're not afraid to use them. Look at Waco.
Yeah.
You can only go so far before they'll come in and destroy you.
And honestly, from what I've researched, I can't see anything that Waco really did to set them off.
Well, you know,
they weren't tax protesting. They weren't. I mean, if they were, they were still paying their taxes.
Well, they were. They were probably just getting too big and too known. They were, from what I understand, they were trying to succeed from the government. They were trying to, have their own plot as their own little nation, kind of like the Native Americans.
Right.
That's what I understand.
And you can't have people pull that off.
Right. Now, of course, I could have been miseducated. But, yeah, they weren't really doing anything wrong. They were just trying to live their lives in peace and harmony without government tyranny. And the government came in and killed most of them.
But no, there are a bunch of pedophiles, and that's why we had to send the ATF in order to exterminate the women and children and.
Yeah, they had to exterminate the women and children because the men were pedophiles.
Well, the leader was a pedophile.
Who? Oh, the leader was a pedophile.
Yeah,
the women and children.
Now, meanwhile, they could have arrested him at any point while they were surrounding the compound because somehow he was getting in and out of the compound and doing nightly concerts in a local bar.
Right.
So, you know, apparently he wasn't aware that he was surrounded or that they were even after him, or he wouldn't have bothered going to the local bar. Because that'd be an easy way to pick them up.
Right. They just came in with tanks and blew everything up.
Yep. Set them on fire, burned them out, crushed the women and children in the bus, bulldozed down all the evidence and cleared it all out before anybody could really investigate. And what's her name? The transgender Supreme Court judge, whatever her name was. Said she'd take full responsibility. Well, full responsibility would be she loses her head. But then
right.
She's transgender. She probably already did.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Janet Reno.
Right. So, yeah, we live in a free country.
Yeah. Yep.
You can trust the government. Just ask a Native American. Just ask David Koresh.
Yeah. Yeah. You can trust the government. Every Native American knows that.
Exactly.
You can implicitly trust it. You can trust it, go back on every promise it makes.
Pretty much. You You can trust the government to stab you in the back, screw you over, rip you off, and kill you if they have no other, once they've determined that you basically pose no viable interest to them. They'll exterminate you.
Yep. If you even show hints that you're tired of their BS, they'll lay it on thicker.
Yep.
So, all right, check your messages and read the title of the link I sent you, and then we'll say goodbye.
Read the title and then say goodbye. What if Honest Mormon Ministries came to your door?
That's like what if meat eaters were like vegans?
Oh, okay. Is that one of his videos?
No, it's not. I found it on another site tracking down Kent Hovind. So.
All right, yeah. So check that out too. I'm sure it's funny. What if Honest Mormon Ministries
missionary
came to your door? Oh, missionary. Sorry, I can't read. Missionary came to your door.
All right, that's the thought for the week, folks.
Right. That's the thought for the week.
All right.
So when you wake up tomorrow, tell your significant other, good Mormon.
Good Mormon. All right, well, anyway, good night, folks, and that's it for the Demented Dungeons & Dragons podcast.
That's all, folks.
Well, we failed to talk about Dungeons & Dragons this week.
Yeah. Oh, but I got good news. Red Towers is no longer charging or requiring people to make donations in order to beta test their sites or their games.
Yay. But what's their funding level? How close are they to achieving gameness?
I don't know yet. They're still trying to get donations. So basically donations, anybody who donates to Red Towers, we'll get bonuses and perks in the game. So you have to look them up on Facebook. The links to their donation stuff is on, I forgot. They got two profit-raising sites that they're on.
So it boils down to you're prepaying your subscription to a game that promises to be great because these are XPK players, Parallel Kingdom players, that are putting this together.
Yeah, they're gamers. I mean, you know, it's a leap of faith. I donated $50, you know. I mean, I wasted $60 on the game that we were playing before. What's another $50, you know?
I wonder if Jesus would consider it a good investment to invest in that game.
Which Jesus? Jesus?
Yeshua.
Oh, that one.
I'm kidding. I have tithe money that I've set aside. That would be a most inappropriate use of tithe money.
Probably, yeah, because tithe is supposed to be helping people who are destitute.
But no, we're doing it for missionary purposes. You know, all those gamers need, you know, need Jesus too, you know.
Right. Most of my tithe goes to you.
Yeah, sort of, kind of. All right, good night, folks.
So long, farewell, auf Wiedersehen, goodbye.
Yep, something like that. Bye-bye.